Hello and welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast number 337. F*** you, Stoke. Don't worry, I'll make it damn you, Stoke, when I write it down. On the way, breaking point. Would you change a winning formula? And F*** you, Stoke. My name is Michael Bailey. Joining us here this Monday at Argent Towers, we have Data and Innovations Manager Peter Raven.
Thank you, Michael.
You can't do that. Don't make me more. I've got to have more beeps to do now. And Norwich City correspondent and travelling companion, David Freezer.
Hello, Michael.
Thanks, Dave. At least we get on. How are you boys doing this second international break of the season? 2 weeks off, doing nothing. It's going to be lovely, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I kicked it off with a double christening yesterday with some friends there, little daughters both got christened at the same time. Lots of good food, lots of good chat. So nice way to kick it off for me.
Just to reiterate though, you're not going to be doing nothing for 2 weeks, are you? You're going to be here. I need some help.
I would very much imagine so. But I was most impressed at this christening in Thetford. The I don't know what they're called. It was a Roman Catholic church. So he's a vicar, is it?
Priest.
And he held both the little girls in each arm at the end, sort of almost showing off.
I can carry two children. There are jokes. Yeah, quite, exactly.
If you just dipped them both in the font at the same time, then that really would have been impressive.
Imagine if it went wrong. Oh dear. Imagine if it went wrong. Funny you said your picture in the Pinken pull out today, you said it looked a bit more tanned than usual. You do look like you've got a bit of a tan, bizarrely. Maybe it's just the lighting in here as well.
I felt more like I've been sort of inside too much, but I thought if you have a look at the Pinken today, it almost looks a bit like the pink has bled into my face a little bit and I've been on holiday, but I can assure you I haven't. Not in recent months at least.
Indeed. Pete, you're well. You're in a pink shirt. Is that pink?
White stripes, I think, isn't it?
Well, that would make pink, so I'm happy
with
that.
Yeah, there you go.
When should we let on about the app? This could be like a tease. I put it in one post in the live coverage, I think, just to go, ooh, I'm sowing the seeds.
You mentioned it last week, didn't you? So our legal people are talking to Apple's legal people, and then it'll be on the App Store. Once it's there, there'll be all sorts of plugging and coverage across all platforms.
They're not suing us. No one's suing us.
Just to get things in place in terms of images and video. We're confident and we know we're in the right. So
you make it sound like we're being sued. Well, that's exciting. A pink and app. Wait and see. Wait this space. Right, before we get stuck into the proper football chat, remember you can get in touch with us. All here to share your thoughts and set the agenda. Just send an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk. You can talk about anything if you want there, as long as it's vaguely Norwich City related, that'll probably do it. Or you can get in touch with us via all the usual social media channels. That is, of course, there are Pinken channels and, of course, our personal profiles too. And make sure you don't miss a single podcast by subscribing. All the details are at pinken.com/podcast. And if you fancy leaving us a rating or a review on iTunes, that would be lovely. So that was the week that was. We'll start with the end of the week that was, because that's most pertinent. And of course, it was Norwich City coming unstuck against Stoke. First defeat in 9 games. The end of the run, Dave. Was it just one of those days where nothing went right? F*** you, Stoke. Or not quite that simple.
Going to need that beat machine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Once they got that little bit of fortune of Tim Closer, maybe a bit rashly diving in, trying to stop that Martina cross coming into the box, diverting it past Tim Crew, had no chance. Yeah, then it felt to me like the pressure was taken off their shoulders. They've obviously had a bit of a shaky start to the season, and that gave them an advantage. And when you've got the calibre of players that they have in their squad, okay, they haven't adjusted to the Championship properly yet, but you give them a lead and they were very capable of digging in and making it difficult for Norwich and almost keeping things at arm's length. And I just think with a combination of maybe a hint of tiredness here and there, not massively, because Norwich still with a better team and played pretty well, it was Stoke just had enough to sort of see it over the line, really.
I mean, it was quite straightforward from that point on, because Stoke basically went for a 10-1 well, no, that was a goalkeeper, a 9-1 formation. I know they tried to bring Berahino on maybe just to connect Afobe and the rest of his team at one point, but it, you know, it was still a pretty solid rearguard action from then on in. Norwich maybe just didn't mix it up themselves attacking wise. You know, they were crossing balls but only still had Teemu Pukki up front on his own for most of it, so that was kind of never going to work. And maybe it was an ideal situation to have two strikers on the pitch earlier, because I know it happened for the last few minutes. So maybe for those points Norwich didn't really do enough to force the issue even. And it has to be said, they played really well and got a terrific response from the crowd at full time despite losing.
Yeah, it's, you look, I'm just looking at the team sheets now, and you show this list to, say, a fan of the Premier League who doesn't care about the Championship. The names on that Stoke side, they're going to recognise most of those compared to what maybe Tim Krul on ours. But for them to come here and set up like that and park the bus, as it were, is a huge compliment to Norwich. It's like, the way we've been playing, it's just wasn't much fun to watch. And to use another cliche, is like, we will play worse than that and win. It's just that you could, that's why there was that reaction at the final whistle. The fans could appreciate what the players had put in, and it was just that own goal to, in the first half, which I got a bit excited about because I had Tim Krul to score any time.
Closer,
but can it, Tim, closer to score any time, but apparently it doesn't. Apparently it doesn't count. So.
No. I can imagine you going, yes, yes, 25 quid.
Oh no, inside.
Yeah. I guess what I would like, I did see it as a thing before the game that I really wanted. I think I mentioned it in the podcast actually last week. I wanted Carrow Road to step up, and I felt they did on Saturday. And I do hope, obviously Norwich have been in a good run of form, which in a way helps instigate that mood. I hope that is something that carries on now, because I do think that can do Norwich far more good than perhaps the slightly more cynical and I don't know what you'd call it, like almost not really appreciating how Norwich are trying to do, because it's not at times the most exciting football that they may perceive it, or they haven't got that patience for it, which again is fair enough because fans pay their money. But I'm glad that maybe the fans gave something on Saturday, and I think that, you know, the reaction at full time is something that can be built on in terms of the relationship between the players on the pitch and the fans in the stands.
You're trying to sum up the Carrow Road groan, basically. maybe people or the Carrow Road season ticket holders, etc., just learn from the Murphys. You know, that as much as everyone was pleased that they came in, it became a bit of a negative with both of them, didn't it? In that people kept getting into them, and it was there a bit with Redmond as well, wasn't it? In that people kept moaning and groaning when the ball was going out, and I think perhaps that everyone's realised, mate, with the young lads that have come in now, you know, when Todd loses the ball, it's not like everybody is really going for, or Buendia in particular on Saturday, who I thought was probably the weak link, and the one that stuck out for me was Max Ahrens in the first half, who I thought was really good. He went across to James McLean, slammed into a tackle to win the ball, didn't quite get the ball off him, then went back in, got it, put it in the crowd, and the Snake Pit absolutely roared. They loved it. It was proper sort of good defending, and it was almost like, you know, he's one of our own moments. And I think the crowd's really appreciated that it isn't just tippy-tappy football now. They are playing further up the pitch. They are trying to get towards the opposition's box quicker, and I feel like it's almost been reset, perhaps, that it now feels like a fresh start. All the feeling of transition, all that sort of stuff is gone now, and everybody's looking forward.
They do look a decent side. I thought that against Derby as well. We'll get onto that in a moment. There's no doubt Norwich, like you said, Dave, are getting the ball from their back line into the opposition area a lot quicker. They're then being patient there, but that transition is happening a lot quicker, most definitely. Interesting mention of Emi Buendia as well, because I can see how much he's sometimes getting caught in possession and not quite at the making the right decisions at times. And he strikes me, was he 20, 21, isn't he?
21.
Yeah. It's basically the player that Wes Houlihan probably would have been at the age of 21. You know, Norwich had 10 years of Wes Houlihan when he'd learn, really. And even then, the first few years he was still learning, but he got to do it in the third tier in a way, and then the Championship. You know, he grew up, he had that experience of knowing what to do and when to do it, and Emmy, we're having to see him learn that, and like with Todd as well, it's probably going to take a bit of time for that to come. it's nice. It's much easier to swear on a podcast because it's an easier editing job. That's why I didn't swear on my post-match video, because it would have been a lot harder to sort it out. But I mean, I did in turn declare that Stoke won't be going up this year, and that I offered people to be able to cut that out and use that later if I'm wrong, but I feel quite confident that they won't be going up this year. Pete, what do you reckon?
No, I don't think so. I mean, before the game, and looking at that team, you thought, well, there's only been one winner here, but they didn't do anything against us that would suggest they'll finish in top two and even the top six. The amount of times that both Aarons and Lewis were just so far forward as essentially wingers. If a team wants to go up, they need to at least attack. I don't know what they're like at home, Stoke, but if they're going to play like that away every week, then they're not going to come away with a lot of points. There's been far stronger teams that we've played already this season that are going to finish higher than them, so I think Stoke fans should get used to another season in the Championship. They're going to win it now.
Yeah, well, we're both in trouble if that happens. You touched on it, Dave, so I'll come to Pete. Should Daniel Farke have made a couple of changes? It was the fifth game of an unchanged starting 11. Love hindsight, by the way.
Yeah, Pookie looked yeah, leg heavy, didn't he? One or two players looked a bit weary. Thought we might have, Rhodes might have started. I guess it's difficult to drop Pookie at the moment, isn't it, the form he's been in, but it's been a lot of games and a lot of weeks. I mean, to me, the youngsters seemed the 11 still seemed fairly fresh. You think they would, and Tetti as well, who I guess he always posts those pictures of his legs and those fancy stockings, whatever they are, I don't know if they're heat or ice, to make him play every game, which is something he hasn't done for years now. So yeah, I think one or two to freshen it up would have helped. It would be nice to see Rhodes start against that Stoke team as well, where he's probably going to be a bit more cute, isn't he, with the back line.
You can understand the continuity, and I like the idea of playing the same side and keeping them together because they were in a good form and a good collective form, so you kind of want them to care. I just felt that maybe there was more to lose by doing that than had he have just, you know, brought in Mario for Emmy or Marco maybe, or as you say, Rhodes for Pookie. I know that it would have slightly changed the dynamic of what they were doing, but not a lot, and you would have had players who have got a bit of form but then also a bit of freshness with them as well. So maybe in a way it was a braver decision to keep the same 11.
It's almost in vogue, isn't it? The Wolves manager's getting a lot of credit at the moment in the Premier League. Is it just set a Premier League record at 8 games unchanged? Apparently it's the first time that's happened for a team from the start of the season. So you can see what Daniel's thinking with it was. Personally, I thought Mario Vrančić had to be in some way. I had thought about whether Pinto would come in for Aarons, because both of those two, Buendia and Aarons, had looked tired in the last two games, but Max, you know, really sort of pulled some energy from somewhere. You know, he's 18. I thought he was really, really good. I think Mario Vrančić, very unlucky to not be in the team. And yeah, Pookie, I mean, early second half, he looked like he was done to me, like he was running on empty. But then again, he digs deep, doesn't he? And he seems to find something at the end of games.
But he was almost more involved in the last 10, 15 minutes, wasn't he? So
yeah, I mean, a big call from Daniel. And as far as Stoke go, I think they're just solid but unspectacular, aren't they? I think if you compare them to Leeds or West Brom, then they're not hitting those sort of levels. And Borough also look very solid. And of course, they've given those teams a head start. But they've certainly got the quality in that squad to get a top six place if they can just find a bit of consistency. So, I can see what you're saying, in that from Daniel's point of view, there was possibly more to gain from staying settled. But I also think often with Rhodes in this entire run, Rhodes just deserves a bit more time on the pitch all the time. Because, you know, you score a hat-trick in the Cup, you can't really do much more. But to be fair, when he came on, didn't really do much, did he? Didn't get much chance against, to be fair. Ashley Williams and Martin Zindi were very good at the back for Stoke. They kept him at arm's length as well.
Well, it's difficult for Farker, isn't it? Because that 11, all of them are playing really well. I mean, Marco is another one who looked a bit exhausted towards the end. But if you drop him, you say, well, he's been playing so well. Why has he dropped him? Why has he changed to women's side? So it's a difficult one for...
And no one played that badly. I mean, even Marco was probably the one driving them on at times through the other stages of the game as well. Just a quick touch on Derby. which of course was Wednesday night. I mean, I thought Norwich were pretty unlucky actually to come away with a draw from that game. I thought the goal, Craig Bryson's goal, was a little spawny again, and more so than Pookie's chest in the other week. I mean, this was like literally I'm wincing at the ball. Oh, it's gone in off my knee. But they should have won that, shouldn't they, Dave?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, that was the game that sort of made me think that Aaron's needed a little bit of a dip out, because they sent in a lot of crosses from that side of the pitch in that game. But, you know, at the age he is and emerging, perhaps he just really learned a lesson that night, because he was much sharper in the tackle on Saturday, and he was really getting into James McLean, trying to make sure that crosses weren't coming in. And Jamal was a little bit slack for the goal, wasn't he? And again, like you said, Pete, he was great going forward Saturday, but he defensively he was getting roasted by Tom Ince. Really, he had, although Ince, fortunately, his final ball wasn't as good as it should be, so they sort of got away with it to an extent. But yeah, if Norwich had walked away from Pride Park with the 3 points, I don't think Derby could have complained too much, because that's been the great thing about this run, hasn't it? You know, 7 games in 3 weeks, and they're not going to places and just hanging on. They're going there and they're playing football. They're showing the right intent. If you're a Norwich fan and you're seeing your team going to Derby and trying to win the game in the right way, then you've got to at least respect that, haven't you?
Okay, it's I think I'm right in saying collectively our favourite moment of the podcast, our gongs of the week. Let's start with our big Duncan Forbes hero of the week. A Duncan Forbes, of course, on the front cover of the programme. And Dave, is it 50th anniversary since his debut?
That's right. It's marking, yeah. I mean, obviously, well before our time. He's just a thing of legend, really, isn't he? I've never saw him play, of course. But that photo of him on Mousehold Heath is iconic. I believe one taken by this newspaper group of the former name. I suppose we would have been Eastern Counties newspapers then, wouldn't we? But that's a photo which most Norwich fans get a little kick out of seeing, I think.
There, you're right, Dave. It is his 50th anniversary of his City debut.
Proper legend, icon. Sometimes there's not quite a word for it, is there? But yeah, brilliant. Duncan Forbes. And of course, he is the title of our first gong, which is our hero of the week. I've mentioned Anel Hernandez back after his hernia operation, just because it was nice to see him, not because he really did. He's still a bit rusty, needs a bit of time. What are your nominations, Pete?
It is nice to see Hernandez back. I think we missed that crossing ability and a sort of proper out and out winger on Saturday. When he came on, it just made such a difference. Too many of Buendia's passes just sort of, his teammates probably went on the same wavelength, just went a bit astray. He made a difference when he came on. Go on then, he'll do Hero of the Week.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, he was good, Hernandez. I think Eric Peters wanted to get off the pitch very quickly once Anel was there. I've kind of given away my content on this one, but Max Aarons, for me, I thought he was outstanding, possibly his best performance yet. Really encouraging. A little bit unfortunate that he's got England under-19 duty, but given that he's playing regularly in the Championship, he can probably handle 2 under-19s games. And looking at that England under-19 squad, he's, as far as I can see, obviously I don't know everybody in that squad particularly well, he's the only person playing regular Championship football in that squad. So because Jadon Sancho and Phil Foden have now moved up the ladder, and Meacher, the guy that's on loan at Preston, have moved up. Max is almost one of the big names in that squad at the moment.
That's a fair point. I don't know what the right back situation is like for the under 21s, but you know, by the end of this season, if Max has played 30 odd games and keeps playing as he's doing, you would think he wouldn't be too far off. Maybe a little bit of a... I guess there's the 20s, isn't there, as well? So yeah. Should be really given a little head up there, because he's not even playing for Norwich's under 18, so...
You've got to mention, obviously, Tim scoring midweek and us on Saturday, but I guess as a senior player, he was the one picking the ball out of the net, first one to applaud and say, and his head didn't drop and didn't affect his game afterwards.
I thought he was one of the, to be honest, you probably could have given him man of the match, but you can't, because he settled the game.
Well,
he was
excellent. It depends on who the sponsors want to meet afterwards, doesn't it?
So. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that Tim is a nomination for Hero of the Week and also Villain of the Week. Just one little nod as well for Hero of the Week to Grant Holt, back in football and back winning games for Oxham. Is that right? Did they win?
Yeah.
2-0, didn't they? And did he score?
Against Fakenham in the Senior Cup. Yeah. Set up by Simon Lappin.
Imagine playing that team. It's a bit like the Cringled Vets with Huckabee and Ewan, isn't it?
Love it.
So, did Edie turn out for us at Sheringham the other week? They're all at it.
It's like old school, this. This is like what used to happen about 20 years
does
ago.
Does that affect his job? It doesn't, does he? He's at a school, isn't he?
He's part-time. I think he's only actually at Colney one day a week, isn't he? With he works with all the age groups, but just one day a week. So.
And he can still do his commercial ambassadoring.
All that stuff over his retirement a few months ago, where everyone got emotional. No, he's playing football again.
Always a footballer. That's the thing. And wrestler. Kevin Muscat, villain of the week. I wanted to also mention the Derby mascot. You know, screw you. What's that about? Don't do that. Don't be in it. You know, all the fans loved it. What's this about?
First time, but he did it about 10 times. Get a grip. And the Derby fans, they got up in arms about Leitner supposedly going down easily, and he is a bit theatrical when he goes down, doesn't he? But then in injury time, I think it was Craig Bryson, the goal scorer, charged into the back of Leitner, basically put his shoulder into his spine, knocked him to the floor, and then they all started going on about diving again. I was like, that's definitely not a dive.
Derby fans moaning about time wasting as well.
And divers, this is a stupid thing. They will have players who go down easy themselves as well. So whatever. I don't even know what I guess he's called Ronnie the Ram or something really unoriginal. So screw you and your ram. Any other villains of the week?
They're number eight for me. After they'd scored, the amount of time wasting that came in, like
Peter Etebo
kicking the ball. There was a couple of free kicks we had, or they had, and he just slyly kicked the ball away, and just a bit of time wasting. And for some reason, there was only 4 minutes injury time, but every team does it, so
yeah. And especially I find Premier League teams, when they're relegated, they end up in the Championship and they're really good at it, because they obviously have to do it a lot in them. I think Norwich were the same. It's like a streetwise, even though you get relegated from the Premier League, you're suddenly so streetwise for the Championship in so many ways in that situation. I find it
him as well that went down clutching his face when Hernandez went past him, even though he hadn't touched him, and then when he realised he wasn't getting anything, just got straight up again.
Free kick, which again is my issue. You know, yeah, Mario Vrančić maybe did go slightly down slightly easily on the edge of the box, but given everything else that was happening in that game, that was a foul, and referee bottled it, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway,
it did, yeah.
I'm in a good mood today.
The referee wasn't great, was he? He seemed to give a lot of fouls, but really wasn't keen to get his yellow card out.
And just to extenuate that point, it's David Coote, and he is generally, I don't enjoy games he referees. That is a trend across it. David Coote, if I see his name on the team sheet, I'm like, I know you. I don't enjoy when you referee games, because I know you're going to be on the pitch. Well, so it's not just a one-off that happens.
He's stuck with you then, isn't he?
Only on the basis of his own performances. Anyway.
Not even looking at it through yellow and green glasses, how Marcus Stiepermann can't be booked when he literally wrapped his arms around a player and chucked him to the floor. That's a booking all day long. I'd have said there could have been a fair few more. James McLean, for nomination for the villain of the week, he tried to kick off of Alex Tetti, to which Alex just sort of laughed at him to a certain extent, didn't he? He was like, what are you doing? What's wrong? And then Tetti even went over and shook his hand, and he accepted it eventually, didn't he? But I think the snake pit enjoyed booing him, and that was partly why they enjoyed Max dealing with him so well as well.
Yeah, I think he'd be able to start a fight with himself, James McLean. There was a bit where he'd had a tussle with Max Aarons down in front of the snake pit, and Max walked past him and did that, you know, classic tap on the bottom, as you do to, you know, well done, you know, nice tussle. And James like looked at him as if he'd sort of smashed him around the face and was about to nut him. But there we go. That is what fuels James McLean, I guess. Simeon Jackson, moment of the week. Dave, you've got something written down.
Yeah, it's got to be the full-time reception for me. I thought that was real fair play to the Carrow Road fans, not just to sort of clap and sort of show a bit of appreciation, but to actually launch into On the Ball City at full-time. I don't remember that happening. Well, I don't remember it happening. I'm sure it has happened at some point, but after victories, but not in defeat. I thought that was quite a reward for the players, really, for all their efforts for 7 games in 3 weeks, which have changed the course of this season despite the defeat. So that was great, and hopefully more of that to come.
Last time I remember that happening was Inter Milan away in terms of a defeat, which was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
I think it's probably sometimes in the Premier League when they've played Chelsea or Arsenal, whichever.
But
Stoke at home in the Championship, And I would say there were similarities still in how Norwich played compared to last season. And there just seems, as we sort of said a few minutes ago, there's an appetite to maybe accept what Norwich are doing at the moment. And maybe some fans would be suggesting that that's accepting defeat and things like that. But, you know, there seems a willingness to back what's going on rather than wonder why something else isn't happening.
I think it's, like I said last week, we've gone from that feeling sort of at one, the fans and the team, when we had like Holt, Houlihan, Martin, Russell Martin, that sort of team under Lambert. And then last year, like Dave said, the whole transition, you didn't feel that connect. But it's felt a lot more like a team this season rather than sort of individual players. And I think that's what was reflected in the final whistle. There is now that relationship again between the fans and the team. And for me, that's the best atmosphere there's been at Carrow Road this season. Easily.
I agree with that, and that connection is quite an interesting point, because we've seen that away from home. I think when I know Norwich have been doing well, and that does help, but you know, there has been that connection away from home, and I think that's Saturday's first time I've seen it really manifest itself at home. And fair play to people like the Along Come Norwich guys, because they are making a difference. Yeah. They're really making a difference to the atmosphere throughout a game. I know there were quiet bits, but you know, generally what they're doing is working.
And usually when it's raining at Carrow Road, it's quiet. So,
true. Yeah,
what was it? One city strong. The banner said at the start. So that's fair enough. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a sweet spot at the moment. This won't last forever, will it? I mean, they've drawn one and lost one, but played well. But obviously, because of the five games before it, they are in that sweet spot. So if they continue to play well but not win, then obviously that will turn at some point. But I think everyone's seen enough to believe that if they can just be consistent from here on in, then they're going to have a half decent season.
So, mailbag at this point. I have a feeling people have gone, oh, it's an international break. You know what? I need a break. Because not many people were that fussed about letting us know what they want to discuss, which is fine. But if at any point, and it doesn't have to be the morning before, any point you want us to discuss something on the podcast, be it or regarding any particular player, any particular situation, any issue you have, or praise, anything you want regarding Norwich City Football Club, let us know and we will stick it on the table and discuss it. The email address is thepinken@archant.co.uk, and of course you know all the various social media channels that you can connect with us on too. So we normally do the week ahead here. We were going to, at times racing away, we were going to look at the championship and things like that. We're of course 12 games in. I reckon we save that for next Monday's podcast. And Norwich have got a bit of a sticky run actually coming up. There's a few little tricky games. Forest away, Forest are in good form. Mita Karanka got his revenge on Middlesbrough at the weekend with a very nice 2-0 win against Tony Pulis's side. So that underlines how well Forest are doing, and they're up in the top six comfortably now, aren't they, Forest? I think.
Yes,
and
fifth.
And then it might be a good time then, of course, to talk about Villa too, because they are, Steve Bruce was not only the victim of a cabbage attack, he was then sacked, having gone through a lot at that club. And last I heard, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but a dream team of Thierry Henry what's his name?
Terry.
John Terry, yeah. Thierry Henry. That was what threw
Thierry
me completely. As his number
well,
two.
Well, he's now announced his retirement, yeah. Hasn't he? So that would. That'd be amazing to watch them just completely fail.
You can see now, John, you can come here, but you ain't playing.
Well, he's going to be number two, isn't he? Because obviously Thierry Henry's got more manager experience.
I can't see those two working together. There's surely too much ego.
I want them to.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be amazing to watch it. You never know. I mean.
God. Yeah, all the fruit and veg will be thrown at them. It'd be amazing.
I mean, Thierry Henry, from when he was a pundit, I didn't really enjoy him as a pundit.
Wasn't he part of the Belgian team in the World Cup?
Yeah, was Roberto
coach?
Yeah, Roberto Martinez is number two.
Yeah, it's like you say, his punditry wasn't anything to write home about, but I was mine. So.
Apart from when he put his hand on Jamie Carragher's leg. What was that? Was that when Brendan Rodgers was sacked?
Yeah,
that was
breaking
a
news.
Great gif.
No, I mean, they that can't happen.
Well, no, let's hope it does. It'll be nothing. You never know. Who knows?
Wishful, really, isn't it?
I mean, it might end up being their first game. You don't know, do you really? But I mean, again, Villa go from just splashing all sorts of money, failing miserably, and all of a sudden they've got pretty much the same squad. And the possibility of John Terry and Thierry Henry on, I guess, you know, $200,000 each week or whatever maybe, stupid money they're going to be on.
I guess they just weren't happy with Leeds being the soap opera of the championship. They want to join in as well. So
maybe Leeds are going to go up.
Terry Henry, eh? I mean, if I was them, I'd be getting Dean Smith from Brentford. I think they might even struggle to get him to leave Brentford at the moment because things are going well and that's such a well-run club. But me and Paddy were talking about it on the way to Derby, and he did used to manage Walsall and is a Brummy lad, so I think so. They may be able to get him, and he seems to have got Brentford playing some good football on limited resources, so if he could imprint that on what is undoubtedly a very, very talented squad at Villa already, then they could still definitely get automatic promotion.
Still available.
He is.
Arsene Wenger.
Ipswich won one, Mick back now, they've won a game, will they? So that's all right.
One win in 12. Carry that on throughout the season, that'll do.
Okay, we'll have another look at some of those things in next Monday's podcast, I reckon. Plugs wise, the Pinken Show is back on Wednesday, all being well. That's good. I think we've got Connor and Sarah off the Norwich City Fans Social Club coming on. They've got a Norwich Ipswich quiz thing coming up at the end of the month. Keep an eye out for that. I think it's the last Wednesday of October. Off the top of my head, something like that, might be the Thursday. So I'm sure they'll talk about that and other things, but of course we'll have all the usual Pinken Show fun and games on there, and we'll keep an eye on the international break. Dave, do you know who's where?
Yeah, I brought my diary in, and I will, as I've just spotted it, I will give a quick cricket plug. Ollie Stone of these parts could be making his England debut on Wednesday. He's in the Sri Lanka squad, which has toured Sri Lanka, so that's one to watch out for. But yeah, Max Aaron's with England under 19s, Jamal Lewis and Michael McGovern with Northern Ireland, Teemu Pukki with Finland, Tim Closer is with Switzerland. They play Belgium and Iceland in the Nations League confusing tournament. And I think that's it. I'd imagine Adam Ida is in the Ireland under 19 squad, but I haven't actually seen that confirmed anywhere yet. And of course, formerly of this parish, James Maddison in the England squad. So that's one to watch out for as well.
And hopefully he plays. If he plays in a competitive game?
Yeah, is it a competitive game?
I think the Nations League is officially a competitive game, so they'll be competitive.
Is it?
So
I think we're all expecting that there must have been some clause in there with Norwich, mustn't there, that if he plays, you know, if he starts playing for England, they must surely make some money out of it.
They'll make up that other $4 million somewhere. But yeah, good stuff. Well, that's exciting, so we'll follow all those. There's a few players there who could probably do it for the rest. But never mind.
If you're Daniel Farke, you'll be like, how is that little niggle, Timo? Would you like to drop out for Finland?
But don't get that much anymore, do we? Don't go away. It's like, you know, them play.
It's all kind of, people still actually play for their country, don't they?
I play in the Nations League. Get me that Nations League cap. Right, in that case, I hope we haven't missed anything, but is there any other business?
Not from me.
Oh!
Lunch.
Lunch is any other business. Brilliant. Okay, well, in that case, it'll be goodbye. We are done. Thank you very much, everyone out there, for listening. We always appreciate it. It's goodbye to Pete. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Michael.
Goodbye, David.
Cheerio.
Goodbye from me. I'm Michael. Goodbye. Remember, pinken.com for all the latest Norwich City news, analysis, opinion and transfer speculation. We'll be with you every Monday, hopefully, so make sure you get in touch and get involved. This is your podcast as much as it is Pete. Enjoy the competitive international action. Of course, it's non-league day as well, isn't it, the weekend, so go and watch Wroxham. I guess Colty and Lappin might all be in action for Wroxham at the weekend as well. Anyway, non-league day, go and watch some of that as well if you need your football fix, and we'll be right with you at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.